So I have to say, I've been really thankful for the series on the Beatitudes so far, and I think it's been good to just take a pause, actually. We're in the middle of this series, for those that don't know, that we've been doing a series on the Beatitudes, and we've done three messages so far from the Beatitudes, and now we're taking a pause so that we can update you on some of the plans for the church from the leadership team and give you a bit of feedback from our vision day in March before the whole world went crazy come the end of March. And so we're just trying now over the next month, 6 weeks, to interject in the Beatitude series with a couple of updates on broader vision for the church. But as I said, I've loved the Beatitude series, and I wonder if they're having an effect, if they're causing you to reflect on anything and how you live your life. I mean, I would really urge you, if you haven't, then to take a look at the questions by Matt and by Laura. There are some really helpful questions there to help us think about how we live out the life that Jesus was speaking of in the Beatitudes. For myself, I am at peace with feeling poor in spirit. That message from Laura was really helpful in making me be comfortable with knowing that being poor in spirit is a really great place to be in dependence on God. So we're going to be talking about our values this morning, and the first one that we're going to be looking at is being family. And as we reflect on family, I'd like you to have your pens and paper ready, because the first thing I want to do is just acknowledge that the word family has different meanings for us. And every time I say the word family, there are going to be some of you who are going to find yourselves feeling a sense of warmth and satisfaction. You're going to be feeling something that provokes good memories, something positive. It's going to maybe give you a reminder of people you love and care about. But for others of us, the word family is a challenge. The word family is something that provokes disappointment, memories of things we're not so happy about, or a reminder of relationships that are not as they should be. So I'd just like us to take 1 minute and just write down on your pieces of paper to begin with, or whatever you've got. I'd just like for you to be honest with God and with yourself for a moment about what the word family means for you. Perhaps you'd like to split it into two sides. One might be a side for celebration, the things you celebrate and give you joy about being family, and another maybe side that's perhaps on your disappointments. So I just pray for a moment. Lord, I just ask now that you'd be speaking to us and that you'd help us to reflect honestly about the word family and what it means for us. And would you help us reflect and be honest with you and ourselves about that which disappoints us and that which we celebrate? Amen. So I'll just give us 30 seconds to reflect on that. So as we come to a close, I'm just going to pray for us. Just going to now pray that God would handle what we might be thinking or feeling. Lord, we thank you for family experiences that nourish us, that have been with us all our lives, that have been a blessing to us, that have made us who we are today. We give thanks for good, healthy family and the gift of family. But Lord, we also acknowledge that families can go wrong, relationships can break down, family experiences can be negative as well as positive. And Lord, we just take a moment now to hand over to you those disappointments that hurt us about our families. We give you those areas of our lives where they have not worked out, where the ideal of family has not been realised. And Lord, we trust all this to you now, the disappointments as well as the celebrations. Amen. Amen. So back in January, we asked you to pray. Our church family had a prayer time together, and we listened to God. And back in January, the senior leaders identified four prophetic pictures that we thought were helpful for our church and would perhaps give some foundation to what we thought might be the next steps for our church family. Harriet kindly drew the pictures for us that you're seeing here on the slide. So one was a picture of the church being a regional church, a church that would have influence and that there might be some connection with Wales. It was also about the church being one of missional community and mission, and there would be a time of passing on the baton in faith and leadership. There was a picture of Pin Ho and God's work being activated in Pin Ho. There was the picture of digging and the word keep digging in our prayer, in our commitment and our work, with some significant breakthroughs to come along the way. And lastly, there was the picture of family, the picture of us being a church that would love and serve families and connect with them and be present in the midst of our communities where we're bringing healing to others. Then over March, we said, okay, we've had a great prayer week in January. It's time to pray again. And so at the end of February and into March, we asked you to pray again with us. And we also held an overnight vigil. And at that time, we felt that there were three areas of life that were starting to become clear to us that we thought would be significant in the way we make decisions in the future. Those three areas are our family, discipleship, and pioneering. We feel those three areas of church life are helpful guides for the way we invest our money as a church, for the people who lead and serve us, and for the activities that we do and the way we are as a church. And so this morning, I just want to focus on that first one of family. And so very soon we're going to take a break and we're going to be taking a look at our people, our drawings. We're going to be looking at them. But before we do, I would like to play you a 2-minute film that's just going to give you a bit more information about what we mean by family. So I'll share that with you here now.
Our first value can be summed up like this. Our relationships with each other are critical. Whatever we do, we want to have a sense of family, that everyone, whatever age or stage, has a community to belong in. Healthy relationships, a strong sense of family and community, and the chance for everyone to find belonging are definite signs of good health for our church. There are a number of things we're looking for when it comes to church family. Firstly, we want to keep encouraging a healthy mix of generations, experience, and situations. We want to have communities that can confidently deal with difficulty and help each other out in need. And we want to see pastoral care, working out our discipleship together as life goes on. We realise communities can look very different depending on their context, so we're going to keep asking, what are we expecting from each community? What does family look like for these people at this time? We want our church family to continue to feel accessible and welcoming to people connecting with us, We want a strong sense of invitation and belonging for our friends and guests. Lastly, we recognise that people find some groups easier than others, so we're going to keep encouraging different ways for people to connect with each other, ranging from big celebrations to small discipleship groups, with plenty in between. These four pictures will help guide our planning and decisions over the coming months and years when it comes to church family life. We're in faith that as we pursue this vision of church family, together we will be his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. We'll be carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for our Lord.
All right, there you go. There's an introduction then to what we mean by family. We're going to take a short break now. Chris is going to just catch up on how everyone's doing.
Thank you, Rich, ever so much. Let's pick that up and see what the younger members of...
Okay, so I mentioned then that we've got these values that we are wanting to hold on to, and that one of them is about being church family. But what's important now is, well, what does it actually mean in practice for us? And so we have been thinking as a leadership team, how do we continue to be church family at a time like this? What does it mean to be church family in lockdown? And so we have been trying deliberately to do a few things as a leadership team and encourage a few things as a leadership team. It's just a few of them. The first is that we've been making sure that everyone is cared for and no one is left out. We pulled together a list of everyone in the church and we tried to map out who did we think might be isolated and who was going to be connected with them. We've really tried to make a deliberate attempt over the last 2 months to make sure no one is left out, and that at least everyone has one person that they're in connection with who is looking out for them. But it has been really important that that's not some kind of administrative exercise, but that it's actually something that we just do naturally, as Steve shared with us, because of our love for one another. So I would like you to be stopping and listening to God again now, and just take a pause. I've already asked you on your pieces of paper to write down the things that we know about our family. I would now like us to be thinking about who we might like to bless in the church family. So I would like you, please, I'm currently spotlighted, I would like you to change your view to gallery view. If you're looking on your computer or your iPads, take a look at gallery view. And I would like you to survey all of these wonderful people who you are connecting with online right now. And I would like to invite you to just pray and listen to God for the next 30 or 60 seconds and identify at least one household, whether it's a single person or a couple or a family, that you would like to bless in some way this week. You know what? We were blessed this morning. Do you know, yesterday, our good friend Susan kindly blessed us with a few chocolates, and she knows me so well that she blessed me with a tin of Spam, because she knows that my favorite food in lockdown at this time is Spam. And I like nothing better than a grilled Spam sandwich on a sad day. That's going to be my lunch. So I would like you to think, is there somebody you can bless this week in a way you haven't recently? So just pray again. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us, that your Holy Spirit is guiding us. And we ask now that you would identify somebody different for us in this wonderful church family that we could bless this week. Amen. So just take 30 seconds, look through these wonderful people and start weighing up who you might like to bless in some way with a gift or a phone call or a card, some act of kindness that would show them that you love them. There we go. I hope you've identified someone. I can hear on the in the chat below, the Laura and the kids are below me, so I can hear some debate going on about who might be the recipient of some Cummings love in the week ahead. So I'd like you now, just write that down. Write down and commit to it right now. Who can you bless this week? As I mentioned, there have been other things that we've been doing as well. You might not be aware, but for anyone who can't connect with the church family digitally, then we have been keeping in postal contact with people. We have been sharing with people. We've been writing to them. We've been sending cards. We've been sending them information about what the church has been doing, to just ensure that anybody who can't connect on Zoom or with our social media has got other ways of at least hearing from the church and know what's going on. And as I said, we have been keeping up regular digital communications. Now, one of the things we've been doing is a new podcast. We've done a couple of podcasts, myself and Laura and Susan, with technical help from Ian, and we've done a couple of those to just use these different ways of keeping us connected and hearing what's going on in the church. So for those who are yet to see or hear it, I thought you might like a little reminder or an introduction to what we do. The most recent episode was with Mike and Lynn, and I thought you might like to all benefit from a little wisdom from Mike.
There was one fundamental thing which I meant to mention earlier on that is essential for keeping yourself together during this time, okay? And that is, what you must do is every day in the mornings, you must sit down together and watch Homes Under the Hammer.
Oh, what sound advice there.
There we go. So there's some sound advice from Mike there. I hope you enjoyed that little nugget of wisdom. There is plenty more like that that comes from the Wilmots. You can see more of that conversation on YouTube, and then you can get the whole conversation on the podcast. So if you look at our links on the website, then look for the podcast link and you can go there and listen to what's a really great conversation with Mike and Lynn about how to keep our relationships healthy in lockdown. We want to be a church that is encouraging healthy relationships, and we're really aware that relationships are under strain right now in lockdown. Pardon me, I seem to have a slight tickle in my throat. So lastly, we've been talking about Zoom and these meetings, and the other thing we have been doing is running these online meetings together. And we've recently asked you to complete a survey, and this is just part of the results. So about 50 people completed the survey. We asked a few questions about your experiences of church life under lockdown. And one of the questions was, how much is the new online gathering helping you with these different areas? And you'll see that we then asked people to rank them and say whether they were this meeting was helping not at all, a little, you didn't know, quite a lot, or a lot. And interestingly, the number one thing that people have said they've appreciated most about these gatherings is keeping a sense of community. Nobody has said that it's not helping at all. And most of you have said that it's helping quite a lot or a lot. So I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged that we are at least doing something to help us keep a sense of connection together. So I just want to stress, as I'm coming into close now, we're soon going to be breaking bread together, that we are aspiring to be a church that encourages healthy relationships and seeks to bless one another and wants to behave like a family, a healthy, loving family. And we're going to keep pursuing that over lockdown. As we move into new phases and the government starts changing the way we live our lives and changing the kind of structure for how we gather, we're going to keep asking the question, what does family look like now? And that will be a regular question for the leaders. And if you've got views on that, then we would love to hear from you. Please let me know, give me a call and tell me what you think. I want to just close, and as I do, just remind us of this quote from Leslie Newbegin. The church is the bearer to all nations of a gospel that is good news. So we are a bearer of good news that announces the kingdom, reign, and sovereignty of God. We, the church, call men and women to repent of their false loyalty to other powers and to become believers in the one true sovereignty, and to become a sign, an instrument, and a foretaste of that sovereignty of the one true living God over all nature, all nations, and all human lives. What an amazing vision of the church that is, that as we are loving one another, as we are being family together, we are a sign to all of creation of the goodness of God. So before we close now and move to breaking bread together, I would just like you to do one other thing to help you for the week ahead. There are three verse sections from the Bible here, and I would like you to identify one that could be your memory verse for the week, at the very least to reread before you go to bed tonight or later in the day. So the first is from Philippians 2. Don't be selfish. Don't try and impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. It's the words of Paul to the Philippians. Then from Paul to the Corinthians, he wrote, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. And lastly, the record of the early church from Acts, that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place, sharing everything they had. We're going to take another 30 seconds now just to listen. And I'd like you please to identify one of these passages and note it down on a piece of paper next to the marking on who you're going to bless this week, of this passage that's going to act as a guide for you in how you view our church family this week. So we'll just take a few seconds now. Lord, I invite you to speak to us again and be guiding us to what you might want to say to us this week. Would you identify to us, Lord, if one of these passages should be guiding us this coming week? Amen. So we're going to hand over now, and as we come to a close for our meeting, we're just going to look now to the bread and wine as the great symbol.